What it is, another edition of the GYGB War Report Show. I'm your co-host, Roberto Flack, and live on location, my man, R.O.D. What is goody, fam?
Yo, it is all good. I'm sitting here. I just gave you guys the five fingers of death. I'm in a, like, undisclosed location at a family reunion, but what's so crazy is it looks like I'm out here blending in with the elements, man. But really, I'm taking a break from the light so the mosquitoes won't come out and bite a brother, you know?
You get the human we get down here, man, during this time of the year.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Y'all mosquitoes are like bats.
Yeah, dude.
and I heard y'all have a green iguana problem now.
Yeah, yo, here's the funny part, man. Before we get into it, my wife, man, you know, before we got on the air, man, you know, she got this new job and whatnot. They have, I mean, some people would call it an infestation, others would call it a family, or a coalition of iguanas that are spread throughout the outside of the school, man. And I told them, like, yo, man, this is when they be coming out, man.
Yo.
They're basking in the sun, man. Like, and these joints is like, you know, for you know, all the viewers, man, you know, here in South Florida, we just have iguanas the size of, I mean, from tail to foot or from tail to mouth, about like close to 5.5 feet, man. Like, it gets pretty wild, man.
Do y'all have orange iguanas?
Nah, the green joints. Like, we've seen, like, the ones we see are the very light green ones, and then there's the dark green ones that I've seen that have the stripe all the way around the tail. Like, I've just been seeing those, and I'm like, yo, I've never seen those around here like that, man. And you know, we've seen them over the years, but not in the families that they have right now, man. Like, what I'm talking about, like, when you're driving, you'll see like 30 of these joints, like, and I'm like, wow, man. Yeah, but like, yeah, yo, man. Like, they don't bother anybody, though. That's the thing. It's just, you know, there's people that go and try to grab them and everything, but
I mean, what they think these iguanas are? Pokemon? You trying to go out and grab them, man? You guys trying to catch them?
Fast. Like, that's why I say, you, if you're able to catch them, then, like, wow. But them joints, they're out of there quick, man.
And they have, like, claws. They have, like, some, like, really crazy claws, yeah, talons, yeah, or something.
They won't really attack you. Like, I'd be more worried about a gator coming out of a lake than them, you know, but, yeah.
But here's the other thing too. Like, all right, last thing. So because of the iguanas, like, do you see less of something else? Like, usually when you see, like, usually, I guess when you see snakes, you see less rodents.
Well, yeah. Like, you see less insects. Yeah.
So when you have iguanas, you see less insects.
Yeah. They eat the bug. They eat the bugs and you know, just things that are out there, you know, but like they go for the insects. So,
but yeah. They won't. But like, what's their relationship to snakes, then?
I don't know. Like that. I mean, I'm sure there's some type of lineage, but that's probably like way beyond, you know, like anything we would ever know. But
so GYGB, welcome. Before we start, welcome to our world. That's Roberto Flags and Ride or Die, like Animal Kingdom talk. Like, we talk about sharks. I'm like really amazed with his habitat going on down there, man. Oh, with the man. Sharks and the gators.
I guess for me, man, it's just like, you know, this is all I've ever known, man. You know, I mean, I've been up north, like, you know, that's kind of like my second home. But down here, man, like, yo, it gets, you know, no pun intended, it gets wild down here.
Yeah, it gets wild down there. Yeah. So go ahead, kick it off, man. Kick it off.
Yeah, man. So listen, man. Like we've been kind of saying, you know, we're kind of like summertime. And like, you know, me and R.O.D. were speaking before the show started. You know, I got my little man heading over to first grade tomorrow.
Congratulations, little man.
Word. So down here, man, school just starts early. So, you know, we're kind of you know, already ending the summer. And in the boxing world, the summer is kind of ending in August. You know, we got September coming up, and that's really the fall season. So there's really not a lot going on in August except for, you know, at the end of the month, which is going to be a fight, well, really a doubleheader that's going to be on Showtime. Well, two things, really. Number one, Showtime live on Facebook and YouTube, but then the tape delay will be on the actual network. So, like, you see that they're really trying to push the envelope with the streaming and trying to get everybody comfortable. Well, look, which look, man, like, I've watched Showtime cards in like the last year on my phone, man, through YouTube, you know, like being like on the way home or on the way somewhere. So, you know, the theme and you got it. So, you know, you might as well take advantage. But they're going to show a doubleheader with Carl Frampton and this dude, Luke Jackson. And the undercard, which is going to be the topic for the night, man. Tyson Fury against, I forgot the guy's name. His last name's Paniera or Paniera or something like that. But it's going to be in Belfast. But the story really is the fact that Deontay Wilder will be ringside at that fight. And there's been a lot of talk. Some people, some sources even saying this fight is officially over and like signed, sealed, and delivered. And I'll pass it to you, ROD, what you think of this potential or even already signed matchup. Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury. Looking to take place this December, from what I'm hearing,
in Las Vegas. So, like you said, the first one, the guy's name is Francesca Pineta, something like that?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So, that was number one. I apologize. I had tried to look it up. But, yeah, everybody wants to see Joshua and Wilder. And what we're getting is Tyson Fury and Wilder. And I find a couple of things interesting. Number one, that Eddie Hearn is not involved, and Tyson Fury made that very clear, you know. And I think that that's a beauty, man, because I really think that some people can make matchups hurt matchups. Some promoters can hurt matchups more than they can help them, and I think at times Eddie Hearn does that. I don't know if you agree or disagree. But the second thing is the fact that I'm just happy, man, that we're getting like interesting fights. You know, this is an interesting fight. You know, you have somebody that is just as tall as Wilder, if not taller.
He's taller.
6'9" versus 6'7". You know, charismatic as Wilder, but just the UK version. And I think it's going to make an interesting press conference and an interesting fight. You know, the funny thing about it is people, we clown Tyson Fury in terms of his weight. What's interesting about this is Tyson Fury has never tasted a defeat either.
Right.
So, you know, yeah, he had a two-year layoff. You know, he was, like you said, the linear heavyweight champion, if you think about it. You know, I can only remember him being knocked down once. Shout out to Steve Cunningham.
Word. Shout out to Steve.
But other than that, man, I'm not going to give a prediction, but I think it's very interesting and intriguing that we had this fight, man. And it's a shame, man, that both of them tried to get Joshua in the ring, man, and he wants, like, Eddie Hearn, man, you know, kind of like wants no parts of it.
Yeah, man. I mean, look, I always say there's two sides to every story and everything, but it's just when you put everything on the table. Now, I mean, look, like I get that with about 6 or 7 months of more, like kind of building up this fight even more on like the state side, like I think it could be bigger, but realistically, this fight could have happened in the fall. Like in December. Now here's the thing with the Fury fight and Wilder. We talked about it before, you know, a couple days ago, man. The thing about this fight, and you just mentioned it, that people are forgetting about Tyson Fury is that he is still the lineal heavyweight champion of the world. You know, when we really talk about the man who beat the man who beat the man who beat the man. Now for Wilder, the reason why I think for him this fight makes sense is because, number one, that he can grab that lineal status, which to me has always been viewed as like the definition of the real champion. Now, look, there have been cases where, like in the case of Adonis Stevenson, who is the lineal light heavyweight champion, but it's like, look what he's done.
Right.
But in this case, you know, you kind of look at it and it's like with Wilder beating Tyson Fury and grabbing that lineal status, it just adds that. And that's why I was kind of like getting to the point of why the Wilder Joshua fight may end up being bigger in the case where Wilder goes in and beats Fury. And again, like you mentioned it too, like I think the buildup for that and the back and forth will be funny, of course. People will get a they'll get a laugh out of it. Now, what I said to some people, you know, a few weeks ago, you know, when this is was kind of like coming up, if this fight happened like 3-4 years ago, to be honest with you, man, Wilder, again, like he's got the X factor with the power. But while Fury, man, could have given him a lot of problems, man, because like he is a good boxer. You know, it's just his thing has always been how serious are you taking this? And also too, like his chin. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, Steve dropped him. And that's not a knock to Steve, but like he's been hurt in other fights where we've been like, oh well, you know. How sturdy is that chin? So against Wilder, man, now here's the way I look at it, man. I think number one, I don't think he's looking at this like a four fight kind of move to fighting either Joshua or Wilder. Like I think he's in a sense kind of cashing out, man, if you really think about it, because he can't get the Joshua fight. The Wilder's there. If he beats Wilder, then that just makes the Joshua fight that much bigger. In the UK, and I think even people in the States would buy into it too, but that might be the that would probably be the biggest UK fight in history. So, like, there's a benefit for both guys in that department, but I just don't know, man, like, what kind of Tyson Fury we're going to get. Now, look, he fights this guy at the end of the month. We'll see how he looks. This will be a better fight than what he got last time, which was, like, at the weigh-ins. The dude was, like, he was carrying the dude like this. Like
he was, he was like serenading him, man. He was, like, singing to him. Yeah. It's like, what's going on? You carry him through the threshold, man? Y'all jumping the broom? What's going on? Stepping on the glass? Mazel tov, what's going on, man?
So that's what it was, man. Like, it was a joke. It was literally like Monday Night Raw, you know, like it was just, it was what it was. So this fight, I guess we'll see a little more, but I think this fight is happening, man. Like, I don't think outside of Fury literally losing, I think this is the fight we're getting in December, and I'm here in Las Vegas, and I can't see how this fight would not end up on Showtime pay-per-view, because from what I'm hearing, and I had sent you guys like some links and everything from earlier in the week, or last week, you know, Showtime's budget, man, like we don't, you know, it's kind of rocky. And with this Mikey fight with Spence, and all of a sudden that's gotten kind of quiet. And now this Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder fight, like that's a lot of money to distribute to like those four guys to put that fight on Showtime, man. So that might be the other pay-per-view this year. But, like, let me ask you this. Like, in the United States, how big is a Wilder Fury pay-per-view? Like, give me a number.
Well, you know, I feel like this, it doesn't get to a million. I'm echoing a little bit. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right. It doesn't get to a million. I believe that in the UK it does over a million. I think Wilder might have made a great name for himself beating Ortiz. But again, if they do the whole Mayweather, what I call the Mayweather-McGregor tour, where they were going like different sites, they might drum up some interest where it might be big in Las Vegas. You know, where if they go to like four sites, maybe like a Miami, a Vegas, somewhere in the UK, and like somewhere else. That might draw like the attention, because you know the press conference is going to be off the hook. So that is the only chance I think it has close to getting to a million. But other than that, you know, if you put it on Box Nation and it's in the UK, it's going to do numbers.
Here's a question for you. Both pay-per-views, okay? Or let's say they have the option to do one or the other. which I'm thinking might be the case, but let's see. In the States alone, Wilder Fury sell more than Mikey Spence?
Yes.
I agree with that.
Yes. Definitely. I still, you know what's so crazy? I'm still going on record and say that Bud may still have a bigger name than Spence, you know, depending upon how you look at it. People may not look at it a certain way. I mean, you know, he's been fighting on PBC more, but remember, here's the guy that beat Pacquiao, and they're like, oh, crap, you know, like, we put it on ESPN, and he won Fighter of the Year, he won an ESPY, so he might be the bigger name. Like, Bud might be the bigger name. I don't mean to digress, but I'm just saying that for that standpoint, I'm going to say Wilder, being one of the, you know, few American, you know, heavyweight or only American heavyweight at this point in time, I think his name, I think that this fight would do way more numbers than Spence and Mikey. Spence and Mikey is nothing more than fight night, you know, and what I mean by that is I remember, you know, we used to play fight night and I would play Pacquiao and we would fight him against freaking Tyson, all right? And it was like... It's like a joke, you know what I mean? I'm not saying Spence.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
It's just you know, a mythical fight. You know, when you're like, okay, let's see what happens. We put Godzilla versus the Kraken. You know, like what happens? You know, and I think it's one of those things. You know, it's not. It is. There's no substance to that fight. I mean, granted, we appreciate Mikey's heart, but you know, if I had to really like, there's some people that believe that Fury can box really well. He hasn't lost, and he can give Wilder a bit of trouble. Like, albeit there's some people that believe that Wilder's going to win, but there are people that believe that, you know, Fury can actually give him a good box. So I think it does do. I think it does do better numbers than Spence and Mikey.
I mean, I agree, man. I mean, and that's why I think I'm wondering what Showtime's plan is for Mikey Spence, because it's, again, like, those talks have kind of calmed down all of a sudden, but the Wilder going to Belfast and, you know, which very likely is going to have him walk in the ring, and they set that whole thing up. Like, for Showtime, being that they haven't had a big marquee fight, and this is why I was saying, you know, why I was saying for, the, you know, this show, why this fight makes sense. And I think for both guys is for Wilder, he needs, number one, like an opponent that people can look at and say, wow, you know what? Okay, this is something different. Again, Fury's taller. He can box. I would even argue it has a bigger mouth than Wilder does, and maybe a little more clever. But yep, it's gonna equal for a very entertaining buildup, which, look, man, I think Showtime needs at this point. I mean, they don't have like a huge fight to deliver for this year. So it's really like, this could be it. The Mikey Spence, man, like, again, man, we'll see if this pans out, man. Like, you know, cause I thought this was going to be announced and, you know, I'm not hearing much now. So For Mikey's sake, man, like, I hope this fight doesn't happen for him. But for, you know, back to the, you know, the topic, with Wilder, man, like, this would, to me, if they did the press tour in L.A., they did one in the U.K., they did one, I don't know if in New York or whatever. I think probably those are the three top places. I, honestly, man, this joint might do 500-600K in the U.S., which, look, man, for this day and age, in the streaming era, is really damn good, man. And I think for Wilder, like, he needs that. You know, like, he needs a big name, again, lineal status, man. Like, to say he is the heavyweight champion of the world. And then you can really start arguing, like, yo, like, it's him. You know, and again, I think it builds a Joshua fight up that much bigger. And look, he fights next month against Alexander Povetkin. So, the heavyweight division, man, is kind of going through the round robin type of deal, because I think after these fights, man, depending what – I think whatever the outcome is, man, it's just – it's going to get these guys closer, because I think they're going to fight. I just don't know what the situation is with the whole DAZN joint and Showtime, and it's like the divide continues. So I don't know, man. there's something else. Oh, I'll let you talk about it, man. Yo, this story. Carlos Baldemir, man. Like, wow. I thought I read about this before, but I guess I didn't hear about, like, what was happening or the conviction or whatever. But, yo, 20 years?
Woo! And it's funny because, you know, a lot of times all right, let me see. All right, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
A lot of the times, what we fail to realize is that, you know, when we have people that like commit these little crimes or what have you, man, this was a big crime that was committed by him. And unfortunately, what wind up happening is it involves a minor. That's terrible. You know, and it's funny because I look at these post-Floyd opponents. Madonna turned into the official plug now.
Gucci, getting all the Gucci bags, $1,500
Versace joint. And then it's like Baldemir, and it's like, what are you guys doing, man? Like, you guys, you know, you guys' names are etched in stone. Like, you beat Zab Judah, had him doing the chicken dance in New York, you know, and, you know, obviously there was people, he beat Arturo Gatti, and he beat, did he beat Alfonso Gomez?
No, Alfonso Gomez knocked him out.
Alfonso Gomez knocked him out. Okay. But he had two good wins with two good name opponents and won the Mayweather sweepstakes. When you win the Mayweather sweepstakes, at that point in time, you're supposed to, like, manage your money and become a farmer, you know? I mean, you ain't supposed to do nothing else. You know, you ain't supposed to become no plug. You ain't supposed to be, you know, and it's a shame because I hate commenting on people's situations, but it's just a shame, man, because I just feel like, you know, sin is sin, but I feel like when you deal with, like, a minor, man, like, whatever that is, it starts to become, like, people start to look at you kind of differently, you know?
Well, man, you're a freaking sexual predator, man, you know, and let alone it's your own blood, man, you're a kid, like, you know what I'm saying? I mean, look, man, there's sick people in this world, man. And look, we can't look past athletes or entertainers or whatever, man, because they're people too, man. Like, at the very end of the day, when you peel everything back, man, like, they have crazy tendencies that people that we read about on the news or see online or whatever have, you know? And you know, you read through Hollywood and all the crazy stuff you hear through there, man, and just stuff like I've personally seen, man, which I ain't gonna get into, but
right,
it's just like, wow, man, like, you know, and you know, reading this, the sad part is you're not directly at Carlos Baldemir, but just the fact that, like, you read a story like that, like, I'm not, like, shocked, man. I mean, we read about crazy stuff like this all the time, but it's just like, this in general, though, man, like, I just, like, I really, the child molestation and things of that nature, man, like, that does not sit well with me at all, man.
Nah, I mean, and again, do we know that there's different types of crimes in this world, man, but, like, you know, we talk about racism and how, like, you know, against brown and black people, and, you know, nowadays is not cool, you know. Reverse racism is not cool, you know, but then you get into, like, the innocence of a child, man. That's, like, super not cool, you know what I mean? That's, like, and I don't even know how old or what the sex was of the person.
Was it girl?
Huh?
His daughter.
What?
Yeah, it was his daughter.
See, when I first read it, it didn't come out with the person or anything. It was his daughter. How old was his daughter?
Yeah.
How old was his daughter?
I don't know. Like, I was, like, skimming through, and I was just reading certain parts. Like, I'd have to go back.
Man, yeah. And you know, it, like you say, just your reaction right there is like, okay, I just want to fast forward. And that's how my reaction is towards it, man. So, you know, I shout out to Carlos Baldemir for all the things he did in the boxing world. But, you know, I hope he gets the help, that family gets the help they need, because he, you know, they lose a father, but you know, he's gonna lose his life, and obviously that, you know, that daughter is gonna be scarred for life. So I hope that they, you know, there's nothing to really joke about. I hope that they both get the help that they need, man, because that family is, if it wasn't torn apart before, is definitely torn apart now.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's a very, very unfortunate situation, man. I mean, it's just we see stories like this, man, and really too, man, because we all of us collectively, you know, or well, I should say, you know, as far as the whole crew, like the majority of us have kids, so it hits home for us, man. And you know, you can never think of like that ever happened, like that never even comes to your mind, man. But again, mm-hmm. It's nuts, man. It's nuts, man. So I guess, you know, we'll see what happens with, you know, Carlos Baldwin. I mean, I think he's gonna be doing 20 years, man. That's pretty much like your rest of your life, you know, for the most part.
Yeah.
16, well, kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
But before we go, man, I posed this question.
Oh boy.
This kind of segues into September, you know, because again, like, outside of this doubleheader, you know, what we were talking about with Tyson Fury and also with Carl Frampton. September's coming in with, every weekend we got a fight. And, you know, the big one, obviously, Canelo Triple G 2. You know, we're going to be, you know, as the weeks go by, we're all going to get together and you know, pretty much give our insight to that. Though I've been kind of leaking mine here and there. Though, anyway, you know, one fight we're all really looking forward to for different reasons. And, well, I think just in general, I think this is going to be a very interesting fight. Danny Garcia, Sean Porter. You sent the link with Angel and Porter's dad. And that was interesting, you know, like, but – one question I posed on the Facebook site, facebook.com/GYGboxing, who has more to lose in this fight? Because people were debating this, and there's two ways you could look at it, but like, in your opinion, based on their records, who they fought, where they're at, who's got more to lose in this fight?
You know what's interesting? I know it sounds crazy. Financially, I think Danny has achieved more. He's made himself more of a household name. I think Porter, though, has the better record. And I can tell you a little bit about that. I can tell you a little bit about that because that is a great question, by the way, first of all, because you have one financially who's more or less the A side of this fight, but the other one accomplished more. And it seems so weird, man. Like, for me, like Porter fought Kell Brook. Is there anybody on Danny's resume that's Kell Brook status?
No, I mean, like, I'm going through
the okay, exactly. If you got to think that long, exactly. Okay.
Here's the thing, like, this is kind of like, you know, because I've been critical of Danny in the whole nine, but the thing about Danny, I'll say, okay. His run at 140 wasn't bad at all. You know, like, I'll give him that. You know what I'm saying? Now, look, did he fight Postol? No. You know, that's a fight I wanted to see. He didn't wait for Bud. But, like, all right, look, and granted, some of these guys like Morales and Zab were already past it. He fought Lucas Matisse, Khan. And then I got reminded, like, Kendall Holt and Nate Campbell, at least at the time when he fought them, running home to tell mom about, but at least at what he did at 140 is a lot better than what he did at 147. Because,
well, 147 had more killers, so that's when he'd been in there longer. And that's
the thing. Yeah, like, he's been at welterweight for a minute because – I forget, all right, this fight with Sean Porter's for the WBC title. Now, I'm sitting there thinking, like, okay, wow, all right, so Danny has a shot at the title, but I'm like, wait a minute. Like, he won the title before, but, like, it was vacated. And I'm, because he fought Guerrero, right? That was the PBC joint. So then I started to think about it. I'm like, wait a minute. Because I'm looking at what he did at 140, and I'm like, look, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt with that. But then I'm looking post-Matisse, And I'm like, yo, like, well, he hasn't fought anybody, you know? And the guys that he did, the one guy that he did, he lost. You know, I and I'm somebody that, like, somebody wrote in the comments, like, about how Danny took Keith Thurman's soul. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, it was
and you know what it is to me, and I'm a Philly cat. A lot of these people, man, that felt that Danny beat Keith Thurman or he took his soul. To me, I think the opposite. Danny looked really lost in that fight. He looked extremely like he needed MapQuest, like Google Maps. He looked lost. And to be honest, unfortunately, that happens, man, when you're outclassed, man, where you just can't pull the trigger. He looked really bad. You know what he looked like to me? I know it's going to sound crazy. He looked like a better version of Jay Leon Love versus who Jay Leon just fight? Versus what? Peter Quillin. No, looked like Jay Leon Love versus Peter Quillin. Like this, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what he looked like. He looked like he just couldn't find – he couldn't get his rhythm together, man. And it's unfortunate because, you know, for me, anytime you talk about – why won this fight and it spilled milk to me, man, I kind of lose respect for you because, you know, again, I look at, let's change gears. Like, you know, the person that's talking about I won this first fight between Canelo and Triple G is really Canelo. Like, Canelo should be happy he got a gift. Like, Triple G's never been on record saying, well, you know, we shouldn't be running, I won this fight, da-da-da-da. He's never said that, man. It's really Canelo that's really saying it. And for me, I kind of like look at that type of stuff, man, and be like, you know what, man? You know, deep down, you probably know that fight was, you know, that you were given a gift. And yeah. I say the same thing, believe it or not, with that Thurman fight. And believe it or not, with that Peterson fight too, man. Like he looked bad in those fights, man. And I'm just.
He might have lost that Peterson fight.
Yeah. So my point is this. And he lost to a full-time plumber. So if you going to tell me about, like, who has more to lose, getting back to the topic, I'm going to go and say that I believe Danny has more to lose financially because I feel like if Danny hits this big and he wins, you know, a lot of people are going to get behind Danny even more. But if Porter loses, I think that kind of erases Porter, man, from a lot of things. I mean, you think about it. Porter already has two losses. Porter has two losses or one loss?
He lost to Brooke, and he lost
to Thurman. Yeah, he has two losses. So, like, here's a guy that'll fight anybody. But, like, Porter, I believe it or not, man, Porter may be in a situation, man, if he loses bad to Danny, he might become a gatekeeper.
Yeah, right.
So,
right.
That's what I'm saying. One has more to lose financially. The other one has more to lose career-wise, man. Like, if Danny has been making much more money financially by taking low risk.
Yeah.
Like, do you understand what I'm saying? Like, he has not fought a Kell Brook. You know, he's fought Keith Thurman, but if you think about it, his Keith Thurman fight was nowhere near the war that Sean Porter fight was. Like, Sean Porter made a name for himself in that fight. Yeah. Like, his fight with Keith Thurman, it was like, okay, well, you know, you're kind of – his fight was literally like his career. He played it safe.
Yeah, he lost, but it's like – it wasn't a huge dominating win by Thurman, which kind of kept Sean Porter afloat. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it did. Can you see me now?
Well, yeah, no, I can hear you.
Yeah. Still, you can hear me. You're funny. I'm saying, you know, they're talking, you know, for people out there, they're talking about, you know, I'm Slender Man. They're out here saying I'm Slender Man out here. It's crazy. You know, but what's interesting is that, to your point, I just believe that financially Danny has more to lose, but Porter has more to lose career-wise. Like, this can set Porter back two notches. Danny can go on and fight at the Regal Beagle, and people, you know, and he'll have a crowd following. You know, Porter goes backwards, and it's a wrap for him, man.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point, because I think he, like, the thing with Danny, or I'll say with both guys, the loser is going to have a very tough time becoming a world champion again, unless you want to consider the regular WBA title or the interim or the intercontinental world title, like a belt. None of us look at it like that. But as far as them contending for a world championship, like, I think as crazy as it is for Danny only having one loss, like, I think he would put himself in a position where he wouldn't get those fights. But look, here's the thing with the Al Haymon fighters, man. And I think why these guys have gotten a bad rap, but, like, I think ultimately these guys really guide their own careers, man. They make their choices. But, like, Danny, man, has been paid well, like you said, fighting guys he should have really not been in the ring with, like even like Brandon Rios. But the thing that kind of concerns me with him, man, is that I just don't think that hunger's there, man.
Yeah, man, like if you think about it, man, you know, he was pumping Dunkin' Donuts down in your spot. You know,
that's the thing, man. Like I think Al Haymon, and we talked about this too. Like you guys were talking about it too, man. Like Al Haymon really helps these guys out.
Oh yeah, he's a blessing to him.
Yeah, absolutely. But like in life, there's trade-offs. You know what I'm saying? And I think somebody made a good point. I forgot where I was reading it, man. But like the thing that I think the Haymon structure has kind of taken away is the tier structure, like the pay structure, where, you know, you want the big fight, you know, you'll get this money, where, you know, for like, you know, not to mention names, but certain fighters making 3.5, 4 million fighting, like, you know, Bobby Jones or Bobby James, like you lose the incentive to say, damn, man, like, because trust me, man, these legends that fought each other and whatnot, they all got paid, man. Like, let's not get it twisted. But they all wanted to fight each other because they knew, like, that was the bread, man. Like, was the big fight. And on top, they wanted to be great. Like, I just don't know where Danny is right now, man, as a fighter. You know, like, he's – the bravado's there. And, you know, his pops is talking, whatever, but –
He's in limbo, man, and you know I'll end it with this, man. He's in limbo because here's the thing. You're right. His pops are talking. That's really helped him out a lot. And his pop, shout out to his dad. He said that there were some things he said when he fought Keith Thurman that he regrets saying. He did say that in that interview. So that was man of him say that. But I'm gonna tell you this right now, like. Danny, man, like, if he performs, without giving prediction, if he craps the bed this fight, it literally is going to hurt Danny financially. Like, he'll still fight because you know why? Danny will still fight the same caliber opponents.
Right.
Like, that he'll fight. He'll still fight, you know, Elliot Perry from your job, who's in accounting, you know, and
Here's a fight, though. Here's a fight, and this is why I think for Danny, again, he won't have those world title fights as won't Sean Porter. But look, man, Danny versus Broner, he can easily make that fight, and people will tune in. Like Sean Porter versus like, who's he gonna fight that people are gonna be like, yo, oh yeah. And that's why it's like it's tough for Sean Porter. But here's like the flip side, man. The winner of this fight is going to be lined up to fight Spence. So it's like it's the truth. Yo, this is why this fight is so interesting because there's two fates ahead of you. You know, it's kind of like those video games that you play. And then if it's like if you do option A, it's going to take you like, oh, well, you're going to have to face this. You take option B, then
it's funny you said it. I was thinking about Contra. Like, okay, you beat this guy. Now you gotta go see the big boss.
Yeah, man. So
yeah. Right. So like, you know, those guys are gonna face the big boss. But you know what? Again, I think they both screw. You know, if you ask me, because they both gonna have to fight. They gonna have to fight Danny. I mean, they're gonna have to fight Bud, or they gonna have to fight Spence. Well, and to be honest, that's what me and shout out to Moni Ryder. We were talking about, we was like, yo, man, just lay the belts at the door. When you win this fight, just lay the belts at the door, you know what I mean, as a peace offering and just run.
or do the Canelo job from a couple years ago, where you just like literally get it to this guy.
Are you the gatekeeper? What do they say on Ghostbusters? Are you the gatekeeper?
I am the gate. Yeah, but Ghostbusters. Yeah,
I am the gate master. Just lead that joint, man. Lead that joint there. But I got to get going, man. So I appreciate you.
Yo, man. Yeah. So yeah, we're just gonna wrap it up now, man. Like I said, man. We're just trying to hit you off with content. Shout out to ROD on location. We'll be back next week. Man. Other stories coming up, and you know we'll hit you off. And on top of that, like we always say, man, follow us at Gardrigo Boxing on Instagram, Gardrigo TV. Hit the notifications, the like button, subscribe, as well as getting your official GYGB t-shirts, hoodie, freshtees4u.com. And guard facebook.com/gygboxing content every single day, man. So I'm Roberto Flack, my man ROD.
Shout out the little man. Hope you have a great school year and a great day tomorrow.
Appreciate it. And yo, and shout out to Coltrane and shout out to the whole crew. And we'll be back next week, man. Also iTunes and Anchor FM, GYGB podcast. So till next week. Got it. Peace.